Welcome to the Believe Again podcast, brought to you by Visit Planner. We're all about helping pastors and ministry leaders find momentum through practical advice and inspirational stories. I'm your host, Josh Robery, and I've had the privilege of training over 700 pastors to start new churches in my role at the Association of Related Churches. And I want to bring that experience to you in a helpful way through this podcast. So this season, we're focusing on something I'm really excited about, relaunching Sundays. And our focus is helping churches relaunch and breathe new life into their ministries. Today, I had the honor of getting to talk to Pastor Landon Hairgrove from Oasis Church in Boise, Idaho. His church planting journey took an unexpected turn that has given him a unique perspective that can help anyone looking to revitalize their church, turn their church culture around, or someone who might be going through a rebranding experience and the pains that come along with that. So let's jump into our conversation with Landon. Landon, I'm so glad to have you on this episode of the podcast. How are you doing today?
So good, bro. Thanks for having me. Honored.
Yeah, man. Landon is in Boise, Idaho, leading an amazing church, Oasis City Church. And if you don't know, Boise is like the best kept secret. And it's not that much of a secret anymore, but one of the most beautiful places in America.
Wow, gorgeous. Yeah.
Well, let's get into your story here, and we're going to talk about how you guys, you know, were in a church planting process, had a unique opportunity, and through that, you've learned some really great lessons to help people rebrand, relaunch, and even kind of relaunch culture, relaunch leaders, some different things. And outside of that, you're just a great communicator, great leader, great friend to so many people. So I know a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this episode. So, man, why don't you just take us to the beginning, Landon? How did you get started in ministry?
All right, let's go all the way back. So got started in ministry, man. My wife and I, first of all, got married really young, went straight into Bible school after we got married. And then we went into youth ministry. And I know you were a youth pastor too, so it's like you understand. So we did about 10 years of youth ministry in a number of different locations, but learned a ton in youth ministry. And our youth ministries grew, and we saw God do some incredible things over the years in youth ministry. And so we really got to, we joked, it was like coming out to practice, you know, planning a church in our youth ministries. And so after 10 years, my wife and I had always known that we were called to plant a church. We just didn't know where. And we spent like most of our vacations as youth pastors were traveling to places we thought maybe we'd plant a church someday. So we went, you know, to Massachusetts, went to Florida, went to California, all over Texas, all over the place, really looking up for where do we want to plant a church? Like, where is God calling us? And for us, it was one of those things. We finally hit a point of going, man, maybe we're not supposed to do this right now. Because every time we go somewhere, my wife would love a city and I'd be like, I don't know about that. And then I always want to plant a church by a beach. I'm like, God's calling me to like a surf church, like California for sure, Florida. Yes. And they need Jesus in Hawaii. And my wife's like, no, like, it's just you. Like, and so we never really agreed on a city. And so finally in 2020, you know, everybody and their mom's quitting their job anyways, right? It's like everything's changing. People are moving everywhere. We really felt a stirring in our hearts that maybe now is closer to the time. We felt God kind of preparing us for a season of transition. And so we started praying and asking God, like, God, what do you have to do? Where do you want us to go? And we felt like God really shifted our hearts. Like, hey, it's not so much about where you're called to right now. It's about who you're called to. And for us, once we really figured out who we were called to, for us, it was the entrepreneur, the pioneer, the dreamer, the person who's gifted with grits, but kind of lacking purpose and direction in their lives. We really felt like that's who we wanted to reach. And so as we kind of defined and honed that down, we started looking, okay, what's an entrepreneurial city? What's a city where young millennials are moving to, that young families are moving to? Boise at the time was the sixth fastest growing city. Boise Meridian area was the sixth fastest growing area in the country. It was number two for families in the country. It's the 28th most unchurched city in the nation, the 24th most post-Christian city in the nation. So we're like, man, this is something where my wife and I, for the first time, really agreed. Like, we really need to like search out this Boise thing and see if this is something God might be calling us to. And so as we did, we ended up planning a trip, took our kids, drove out, and we just had a phenomenal time. Both of us fell in love with the city. My wife actually started crying as we drove up to kind of the crest of the city. And I was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? You're ruining the vacation. So I'm just messing with it. And I'm like, why are you crying? And she goes, well, she goes, I'm just going to miss our family, because she knows. She's like, I just could tell this is it. Mm. So once we got there, I took the kids, let her go pray by herself. She took the kids, let me go pray. We did some things together as a family. But God really confirmed to both of us, hey, I'm calling you to this city. While we were there as well, God dropped the name Oasis on my heart. And I was like, hey, like, what do you think about the name Oasis? And she goes, maybe. My wife's the more skeptical to do us. I'm like, God, God. She goes, nah, maybe, you know? And so we're having this conversation even on the way back, though, in the same way that God started to confirm Boise, God really confirmed the name oasis. And the vision that really God started to download to us was that we were to be an oasis for the wanderer, for the lost, for the hurting, for the broken, for the person in our city who's, like I said, gifted with grit, just kind of lacking purpose and direction, that we could be a place, an oasis, a place of refreshing hope, healing, and renewal for the city of Boise. And so we said, all right, we're going to go full send. We're going to do this. We actually kind of dated the city. We came back like four or five more times on prayer trips and just quick weekends. And our third or fourth trip, we felt like God said to buy a house before we moved there, which was kind of a crazy thing to do. But it also ended up being a total God thing. We got in when the interest rates were low before they skyrocketed, very shortly after that. Man, just amazing things. Like God just started to line it up. So then we moved in January of 2022, and just started the process of getting to know the city. We didn't even go straight into church plant mode. We were like, let's coach our kids' soccer teams. Let's frequent the same coffee shops and restaurants. I was working a remote. I was just traveling and speaking and then working for a consulting company doing like church staffing and hiring. And man, had a great season of just like spending the first 4 months just getting to know the city and learning, you know, about the culture and the background and the history. And so as we did that, it was about April that we really started the church plant journey of actually like going through the process and going through training and everything like that with you guys and with our partners. And so it was just an amazing time to see what God did in those first 4 months. And then as we kind of launched into the actual season of beginning to recruit launch team members and develop website and branding and all that kind of fun stuff. But the hardest thing for us in pre-launch really was trying to find a venue, which I know it's like, does everyone say that? Because that's how I feel like every time I talk to somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the venue search is like such a pain for everyone. And so in Boise specifically, it's kind of like Utah in that it's a very Mormon controlled area. So it's very difficult to get into the schools within Boise proper. You can go to West Ada, which is kind of the county outside of Boise and kind of the burbs. Have a little bit of an easier time to get into the schools. But for us, it was really difficult. We looked at movie theaters, kept getting turned down. There was one venue downtown that I loved. I kept going back and they turned me down twice. But so we couldn't find a good venue. Like we were just like, God, what do you have for us? And so during that time, we just kept asking the question of like, well, maybe something's coming that we just don't expect. And we didn't know what that would look like. But at the time I'd been able to start, there was a guy here who was like, hey man, I could use some help. And so I was able to go preach for him a few times and just kind of serve and come alongside him and just be a friend and somebody that could come fill the pulpit for him. And so I was able to speak four or five times at this church come that October. So this is about, you know, 7-8 months into our planting journey.
There's a big thing happening, in Landon's story that's going to really help a lot of people. But before we get to that, I believe you went through like a rebranding process even after you moved there. Was that before or after this big thing happened?
It was before. So
talk about that because I think like, you know, some people like their church has invested a lot in the idea. They get emotionally connected to a brand, a name, a color scheme, whatever, and it's not working. Yep. And you had this God vision. You and Brooke together, God speaking to y'all moved there, and then you're like, whoa. This is not what we need. So kind of bring us through that rebranding process first.
So when you think Idaho, which I'm sure if like anyone's just out there thinking Idaho,
potatoes,
they're thinking farmers, they're thinking country, they're thinking, you know, mountains and hunting and that kind of thing, which is great. I love all that. But Boise itself and the Boise region, it doesn't display that as much as you would think. And so for us, you know, not living here yet, we had just thought, man, we know it. Like, we're good. So we started, you know, we paid our $3,000, this great design. We even come from a graphic design background, but sometimes it's hard to design for yourself. So we were like, we'll pay this really great company and they're going to do it. And they did a great job. They made a great brand for what we described to them, which was country and it was potatoes and it was this brown palette and it's this. And so it was like very like what we thought Boise was going to be. Mm-hmm. Then when we move here, and the longer that we spend in the city, the more we talk to people. We met so many people from California. It's not even funny. It's crazy. Even just the feel of the city, the new things, the new shops, the new businesses coming in, had a more California, warm, summery, bright vibe. And we kept going like, did we miss it? Like, did we miss it? And we're like, well, we already spent all this money. But then we just kept having these conversations. And I finally just pulled the trigger. I was just like, you know what? Like, this isn't it. Like, this isn't who the city is. And so we need to redefine who the city is, or who redefine our brand around who the city is. And so we went through a process and we cleaned it up. We got rid of kind of, it had little, little serifs and cool little things coming off the logo. We tore all that away, went super minimalistic with an icon, changed our color scheme completely from the brown palettes to like orange and yellows and some bright like lime greens and this whole thing. And it worked awesome. And it really resonated with our audience. And it's been great. And so we're super thankful.
Yeah, I think that's a decision that a lot of people struggle to make. And that is like, I've already invested money in this. I don't want to change it. This is going to be so expensive, but there's an opportunity cost for not doing something that's oftentimes a lot more expensive. And you guys did it. I'm real proud of you for taking that step. But then, so you're out there recruiting. You actually had a great launch team. You didn't really need any help. You just needed a venue, most importantly. But you guys had a lot of momentum, and then something kind of unexpected happened. So let's get into that.
Yeah. So in October, we had gotten to the point of just going, God, what are you going to do? We had kind of a backup movie theater that we wanted to possibly use. Wasn't quite our ideal location, but it was okay. And so as we're going through the process, we're like, God, we just feel like there's something or something else. Like I had said, though, I had spoken for this one particular church a number of times and really developed a relationship there. Well, that pastor ends up sitting my wife and I down for dinner and said, hey, we got some things that were going on. We got to move. We got to get back closer to family. And so we're actually going to be leaving. Would you guys want to take over our church? And for us, we were just like blown away. And the wildest part of the story is months and months prior, before this ever even was a possibility, I had had coffee with this pastor. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit told me in that conversation, he's going to give you his church someday. And I was just like, I thought it was my flesh. I was like, man, this is like, I got to repent. I'm not going to tell anybody. Like immediately the only person I told is my wife. And I said, I'm only telling you this in case it's God, because it really feels like my flesh just wants his building and wants this. I'm like, and I want him to succeed. And I'm like, maybe he'll just grow. And you know, maybe that we'll be able to take the building at that point. I don't know why, but it was just a God thing. Anyways, we're sitting down at that same coffee conversation that I had heard that months prior. At that same coffee, he had heard you're going to give him your church. Mm-hmm. And so now we're 6 months in advance, you know, October, we're sitting here having this conversation. He's going, hey, would you guys want to take the church? And for us immediately, we're like, maybe. And the reason why is obviously there's nuance and there's, you know, you got to get in financials and look at everything and make sure you're taking on something that's a good thing. Right. So I flew out the president of our board. Immediately, we just walked through the facility. And he literally looked at me at the end as he's like, he's a real quiet guy. And so he's like walking through the facility. He stands on the platform and he goes, yeah, you'd be stupid not to do this. Like we got to do it. And for us, it was a huge risk. I mean, it was not a small thing. I mean, we're talking about going from a school that was going to cost us $3,500, $4,000 a month to paying almost $12,500 for rent. We're going, this is a massive faith step if we do this. But mm-hmm. we also saw the potential. If we do this well, if we were to launch in a permanent facility, we believed and anticipated that we would have a higher retention at launch. And so we thought, could we do this and make it work? We'd have to move up our launch timeline because we weren't supposed to plant till September, you guys know, and we had to move it up to February. And so mm-hmm. we're sitting here going, could we shave off this much time with fundraising, with team building, with everything we're doing? Is this going to shoot us in the foot if we do this? And so we really prayed on it and really sought the Lord and felt like the Lord said yes. And so we went through the process. And so we made it very clear that this was, you know, there's no church language for this. There's no good like church language around this. Everyone wants to call it a merger. For us, it was not a merger. This was a 3-year-old church that had a building, a permanent location, 12,700 square feet, beautiful location, right in this, exactly where I drew a circle around where I wanted to reach. It was in the center of the circle. Just total God story. But it was one of those things I was like, it's not a merger. I'm not taking your culture and my culture, putting them together makes one new culture. This is more of an acquisition. Like we're going to take your building, we're going to take your stuff, and we're going to invite your people to become a part of what we're doing. Give them a very clear on-ramp of this is what it looks like. Here's our vision, our values, our culture, who we are. We want to have you on the team, but we're not going to also keep anything from the old culture. We're not doing this kind of mixed thing. And so I wanted to give a clear off-ramp too, to say, hey, it's totally okay. If you're like, hey, this isn't our vision. This isn't our values. This isn't me. That's totally okay too. And we will bless you as you go. We don't at all want to try to make you fit into something that just a box you don't fit in. And so
that's a really hard thing though. You know, it's a very sensitive thing.
It's always difficult when you're dealing with people and people's feelings and people's emotions, and you want to handle them pastorally. You want to handle them with care and gentleness, but you also like, I don't want to deceive people into thinking that this is who we are if it's not. If we're going to do this 50-50 mm-hmm. thing for 3 years and then we're going to slowly transition to something else, it's like, I honestly think that's clarity's kindness. And I think if we're going to deceive people for 3 years, I'm like, I'd rather just hurt you a little bit on the front end by accident and let you heal and find where you're supposed to be than drag you along for 3 years and have you be upset for the entire time that everything's slowly changing. It's like, well, I thought we were this and now we're this. And it's just, I wanted to be clear from the very beginning and help people.
You did a good job of that.
To find their place. That's our thing. It's like, we want to help people find their place. If it's not here, that's okay. But we want to help.
So how did you do that? Because you did a great job of that. So how did you do that?
Yeah. So the former church that we were able to take over, their facility, was called Create Church, and we're Oasis City Church. So we decided to do a sermon series right after we took over the church, we made it very clear that this was happening. And we did a series called Creating an Oasis. And so what we did is we walked them through our vision, values, culture, who we are, and really just help them to see this is a very clear on-ramp. And so what we did is we changed our Sunday services immediately after taking over to be, these are pre-launch services. We set a launch date in front of them. Hey, February 19th, 2023, we're going to launch Oasis City Church, and we'd love for you to be a part of launching Oasis City. And so these are now launch team meetings on Sunday mornings, and you guys get to be a part of this new awesome thing that God is doing in the valley. And so we invited people to be a part of that. And we used each week to teach on one of our core values or a piece of our culture so that they could really see the internals of, like, this is what we're becoming. If you don't want to be a part of it, that's okay. We're going to bless you. I'm going to tell you about 10 great churches in the valley that I've gotten to meet and somebody that's going to align more with what you're looking for. But this is who we are. We're not changing. We are steadfast in these particular things, in these particular areas. This is our vision. This is our values. This is our culture. And so it really did. It allowed people, like, a lot of people left, but we had about 100, 115 people that decided to stay. And we had about 80 people on our launch team. And so 80 people, 100 people, 180 people on a launch team is awesome. And so God was able to just use these people really strategically to help us build an awesome amount of momentum in the beginning. So that when we got to launch day, I mean, we launched with 842 people across three services on our launch day and saw 92 people give their lives to Jesus on the very first day of Oasis City. So it was beautiful, incredible day. Like it was my favorite day up until recently.
Well, what happened recently?
Yeah, I'll share recently. So two things. I'll share Easter because it was awesome and amazing too. But actually, it's not a record attendance day for me that is my favorite day. There was a day probably a month and a half ago that was just, I don't know, Josh, is like one of those, have you ever been in those environments, like at a conference or something, you know, that's like, it's a holy moment. Like, it's like someone's prayed for this. They fasted for this. I don't know why. I came in with the same expectation, same prayer, same stuff I do every day. But this particular day, God just moved in such a phenomenal way in our church. I mean, people were, they'd walk into the room, into the auditorium, and we'd all begin to weep. Like, I couldn't hardly preach without crying. It was just the most amazing sense of the presence of God. And we got messages and emails for days after that. And all of us said, I don't know what this was, but God is doing something new in our church. And that day really started a lot of momentum, even in this season. We actually just on Easter broke 1,000 for the first time. So we had 1,100 people at our Easter this year and saw an incredible amount of salvations, and God's just doing amazing things. And so we're continuing to just trust the Lord to continue the momentum that he's built and then trying to steward it really well. I think for me, the hardest thing about this journey has been learning how to continue to care for people at scale, especially quickly, like even staffing in the right amount of time, finding the right people for staff. All of that has been some of my biggest challenges, is like how to do this well. I don't want to hire quickly and make a poor decision. And so we've been slow to hire. We actually did retain a couple people from that last church. They had one guy on staff that I retained, and he's our creative and production guy. He's awesome, has been able to totally become just an Oasis guy. There was another guy who was a volunteer worship guy that I actually ended up bringing on staff with us, and has been doing really well with us as well. And so it's just been really, really cool to see people get on board and then continue to help us build. But now we're just kind of looking at the future going, God, how do you want us to care for these people well? What kind of discipleship pathways do we need to implement at this scale at this point to continue to grow and care for people well and make sure that this isn't just about numbers and growth? We want to make sure these people are personally growing, that they're individually growing, their families are growing, that they're getting stronger, getting healthier and loving Jesus every day. And so that's been a tension to manage, is just like how to do that really, really well in the last year. So, yeah.
I love that your favorite day revolved around the presence of God, you know, changing people's lives. That's really special. But what are some of those unique challenges that have come along in that success that maybe could help someone who's looking for momentum?
Just looking at the reality of finances. And this is, you know, so because here's the thing, you can look real successful on the outside with your attendance and your giving may not match. And for us, that was the story for the beginning. We grew very, very quickly in numbers, attendance wise. But our attendance went like this and our giving went like this, you know? So it was like the delta between giving and attendance kept growing larger and larger. And so our cash position got worse because we were having to basically, in order to make sure that we were able to grow, we had to spend more money to make sure we could disciple them and care for them and build leaders, recruit leaders and systems and teams and curriculum for kids, all these things. And so we're sitting here going, oh man, how does this work? We ended up, I got some great advice from some great mentors and other pastors and leaders that were able to speak into our culture. And even knowing a little bit of the culture of the last church, didn't talk about giving often, almost really ever. And so we actually did a series on giving last November and taught on it for the first time and just made sure they know that, hey, at our church, we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about heart issues. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about giving. We're going to talk about all the things. And so that's part of one of our values at Oasis City Church is we lean into awkward. So awkward conversations, awkward topics, trusting on the other side of an awkward conversation has great results. And so that's what we've done and doing that even in giving and man, it's been awesome to see our church respond so well. And now we're getting to the place where I think this last month was the first month that we hit self-sustainability, which is phenomenal. And it feels so good because we did raise a lot of money on the front end to get into this position. And thankfully that God did line up incredible partners and churches that invested into us to help us get here. Cause I'm telling you, this opportunity to step into this permanent location would not have been possible without our partners. Like if we wouldn't have been able to fundraise and get to the level we did in fundraising, we would not have been in a place to have the opportunity to say yes, or the ability to say yes to this opportunity. So we're super grateful for that. And I would say to that as advice to a planter as well, raise more money than you think you need. If you think you need, you know, X, double it. Like just try to double it, because I'm telling you, then you can say yes to these opportunities and you get to lead from a place of confidence knowing that, hey, your staff's salaries, everything's taken care of for the next 2 years. So you get to lead without having this like burden of like, I got to preach for giving. No, you preach for souls. You preach to see people saved and know Jesus. And you can take more risks knowing that you have that kind of cushion and buffer. And so I would say, yeah, raise more money than you think you need, because it'll let you say yes to opportunities and God will be able to use it really well. So have more faith for more cash.
Yeah. Well, you were one of the craziest fundraisers I've ever seen. You got after it, had some great results in that area. So we probably need to get you creating some more content around that at ARC or something, because you did a great job. Well, another thing you're passionate about is being a dad. I've watched you with Arrow and just watched how, you know, you are with your family, and you've recently started some new things that I'm excited about. And so just talk a little bit about that and your heart behind it.
You know, it's one of those things in ministry, you have to have other things that you do to just kind of escape. And for me, I've always had side projects, side hustles, things that I do. But I was just really, I love being a dad. It's like my favorite thing in the world is spending time with my kids. And so I was just thinking about it the other day and I was like, man, I gotta figure something out that I can do around being a dad and being a parent, because it, for me, it's just like one of the things I'm most passionate about. It's like, if I'm not successful at home, but I'm as successful at church, man, I've failed. I've epically failed. And I do not care if I am not known in my home and known everywhere else. That sucks. I want to be known by my kids deeply and I want to know my kids deeply. And so I was like, how do I help create almost just content and ideas and thought around this idea of equipping dads, especially dads that maybe didn't have a great dad growing up, didn't have somebody they felt like they could really look up to or learn from. And even if you did, how could I create content that would be helpful to you to continue to help you grow, go further, go deeper, be more in touch with your children, and make sure that you are leading your home well? And so I created a page on Instagram called The Art of Dad, and it's probably a month old. Like it's not very old at all. It's within the last 30 or 40 days I came up with this idea and started working on it. But the idea behind it is I wanted to create content. Specifically, I wanted to bring dads together that want to be a expert, a leader in their field, but also an expert and a leader at home. Like, that's what I wanted. I'm like, hey, I don't think you actually have to sacrifice being a high capacity leader to be a high capacity dad. I think you can be both. And I think you can do it well. And I think it has to do with time management. It has to do with intentionality and priority. There's a lot that goes into it, but I think there's a way to strike this balance and this tension where you can be both without just totally exhausting yourself too. And so I wanted to start creating content around some things that I'm learning. I'm not an expert at all in this. I'm actually inviting people to come on the journey with me as I attempt to learn and get better and grow. And so really right now it's just an Instagram page, but this is the first time I'm really talking about it, but I'm actually going to launch a podcast called The Art of Dad. And we're going to do that. We're going to interview dads that have done it really well and just ask them, hey, out of all the things that you've done with your children, I believe you're a great dad. I see your kids. Talk to me about all the things you've done really well and talk to me about the things you regret the most. That if you could look back and say, man, if I could go back and tell myself at, you know, 28 or however old, 32, what would you say? What would you say to you when your kid is 10? What would you say to yourself when your kid was 6, 2 years old? And so have those conversations again to equip the dads that don't have a dad to look up to as how to be a good dad, but also to equip those who do have a good dad to continue to get better and grow in that as well. And so, yeah, Art of Dad
on Instagram. Yeah, go follow on Instagram. I'm looking forward to that podcast. I'm, you know this, and we've talked about, I'm passionate about raising confident, godly kids that have influence because they know who they're created by and for. So, man, thank you so much for being on this podcast. It's such an honor to have you. You're such a high capacity leader and a great friend.
Thank you,
and, you know, you made us better today. So thank you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. I love you, brother. Looking forward to hanging out pretty soon.
Yeah. See you soon. As we wrap up today's episode, I want to extend a huge thank you to Landon for joining us and sharing his story. It's an honor to know him and to have him take time out of his day to be on our podcast to share his story. You can find Landon on Instagram at Landon Hairgrove, and you can check out his church at oasiscity.church. Before we close out today's episode, I want to take one more moment to thank our sponsor, Visit Planner. If you're looking to increase the number of first-time visitors to your church, Visit Planner is the solution you've been searching for. Their full-service platform combines targeted advertising with powerful engagement software to help you double your monthly first-time guests. You can schedule your free demo today at visitplanner.church and be sure to mention the Believe Again podcast. Let Visit Planner help you make a lasting impact in your community. And finally, thank you for tuning in to the Believe Again podcast. If you wouldn't mind, just take a second and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone. Like us on social media. Follow us at believeagain.co on Instagram. It's been a joy having you with us today, and I can't wait for you to join us next time. Until then, keep leading and believing strongly.